welcome to this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Warwick County School Corporation, Dr. Abby Redmond. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence. It reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader. Someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Abby Redmond. Welcome, Abby.
Good morning, Jeff. It's nice to be with you.
It's great to have you on our podcast. Talk to us a little bit, for those who don't know, where is Warwick County, and tell us about your school district.
Sure. Warwick County School Corporation is in southwest Indiana. We sit directly east of Evansville.
Okay.
And on our southern border, we butt up against the Ohio River.
Ah.
Yes. So our district has like 9,600 students.
Okay.
And it's really unique in that it's a county district.
Mm-hmm.
We have 18 schools, and our three high schools, Castle High School, Boonville High School, Tecumseh High School, mm-hmm. are really very distinct from one another. So it's interesting because we really have three unique different types of schools within our school district.
Okay.
So Tecumseh is very small. Boonville, and Tecumseh is rural. Boonville is your traditional, like, small-town city
mm-hmm.
school. And then Castle High School is our largest high school with just under 2,000 students. So we really have an opportunity and experience for whatever type of high school you would like to attend. But it's fun and unique that while they're all a little different,
mm-hmm.
We still kind of live by the same kinds of feelings about what school means to a community and
yeah.
what community means to our schools. We have a lot of trust with our families and partners and community members, and they trust us as well.
Sure.
So it's a great place to be. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place for students who are looking and families who are looking for an opportunity for a place with high expectations
mm-hmm.
as well. So it's a great place to be.
And you would know something, a little something about that, because you are a Boonville grad.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
So you are a superintendent back in the same district from which you graduated.
Yes.
Talk about that pathway for you to come back to Warwick County.
Mm-hmm. It's really just been full circle, and it's been utterly my privilege. So I graduated from Boonville High School, and I went to IU. I did not originally plan to go into education.
Okay.
I had intended on working in a public relations firm. And so at that time at IU, the PR path was sitting in the journalism department.
Sure.
So I was taking a lot of journalism courses
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature. When I talk with my close friends, they always knew I was going to be an educator. And they're like, why did it take you a year to figure that out? But at any rate, so I graduated from IU
mm-hmm.
and I went straight into teaching then at Boonville High School. That was my first job where I taught high school language arts.
Yeah.
And was able to be colleagues with some of the same people who were my teachers, which was just so amazing. And
probably a little scary.
You know, it was hard to not call them by their official names
yes.
and use first names and things like that. But they just welcomed me back with open arms. And it was just a great place for me to learn and be embraced by people who I knew who already cared about
yeah.
me and wanted to see success for me and my ability to grow into an educator that was effective and,
yeah.
That sort of thing. But
so you started teaching at Boonville.
Mm-hmm.
What was your pathway then through the different chairs leading up to the superintendency?
Never even thought I wanted to be an administrator. So I taught language arts for about 7.5 years
mm-hmm.
and then was a guidance counselor at Boonville High School for, I believe, around 8.5 years. I had the change occurred in
mm-hmm.
a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had some people and mentors who felt like I had some skill set that would lend well to the principalship.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people encouraged me. I was so happy where I was, so there was no rush for a change,
sure.
which was nice. And then basically then my first assistant principal's job was at elementary, which was quite the change from after having worked at high school for 15 years.
What was the biggest change for you?
So the biggest change for me jumping from high school to the elementary really had to do with just people's perception or experience as related to a grade level.
Yes.
So for, you know, in the elementary world, there was huge focus on instructional practices and the whole child and really doing all of those things. In the discipline, now while my role as a counselor in high school was not discipline, of course, but discipline at elementary was more about teaching and giving second chances and modeling and that kind of thing. So I really had to learn that because that was different from maybe my approach to helping students as a guidance counselor. Sometimes would be working with the assistant principal as well for students who needed that kind of support. So
you're at the elementary. Keep going.
So assistant principal for 2 years at elementary, then a principal for a year at elementary as well. And then Brad Schneider, the superintendent at the time, showed up at my office at the end of my first year as a building principal at the elementary level and said, we're ready for you to make a change for next school year. And I had only been there a year at Elberfeld Elementary. So it was a little bit surprising.
Was he asking or telling?
He was telling.
Okay.
I think he was thinking he was, you know, hoping that he was maybe trying to act like he was asking, but really he was telling. And it was fine because I was able to come back and be the principal at Boonville Middle School, which I just absolutely loved back in the community in which I grew up. So that was just fantastic with a fantastic group of people. We did a lot of phenomenal work during those years there. And then from that, I was hired as the director of learning for the school corporation. And thought that that was where I would finish out my career. I had a couple of people come back to me and say, I think you should go back and take some coursework toward your EDS and think about the superintendency. And so I was able to do that and a little bit later in my life than some people did because, you know, as I said, my master's was in counseling, and then I went back and picked up some hours for to get the building administrator license, and then I was doing the same thing for the superintendency. So eventually, in my late 40s, I got my EDS and got my doctorate, and I'm now in year three as the superintendent. And fun fact, my office sits in the building where I attended junior high.
Oh my goodness.
So that's always a fun story to tell.
Do you ever find yourself walking into that building, reliving your adolescence, having a flashback?
I try to forget those years because, you know, seventh and eighth grade, it's not always easy.
So hard.
Always easy, but no, in all seriousness, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. I have a lot of great memories of teachers in that building and just lots of great memories with friends in that building. And so it's pretty special for me.
Abby, you mentioned you're back at home. I'm assuming you still have family in the area that gives you some feedback as a superintendent. Is that good or bad?
That's a loaded question, Jeff. No, actually, I have just a phenomenal family. And, you know, because it is a small community, we do really try to keep the fact that I'm the superintendent and what we discuss and the things that might come up. And we really try to keep that separate from how we interact as family members, right?
Because you just want to be Abby.
Because I just want to be Abby with my family. Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's such a good point because there are very few times when you're not the superintendent. And when you're with family, that's one of those rare moments.
Yeah.
So we really do try to keep it separate. But my family, if they have something on their mind, they absolutely will share that with me.
Sure.
You know, hey, you might need to know about this, or why did you choose to do that, or what led to that decision? But nothing that, you know, any other public member might ask anyway. So
I mentioned in the introduction that you make some really big decisions for your community, decisions that weigh heavily on you, on your heart, that weigh heavily on really just your day-to-day interactions. And I know you carry those into the evenings and into the weekends. And especially being the community you grew up in. And so there's that extra level of pressure and stress sometimes that comes with that. How do you keep your balance? How do you keep yourself refreshed and keep your mental health where it needs to be? Are there some strategies you have? Are there some things you like to do?
I'm not always great at this, but I've tried to get better. It is really hard for me, as a lot of superintendents and others in education, to turn the brain off. So I do try to work out 3 or 4 times a week. That is really a great stress reliever for me. I also try to surround myself with positive people. Realistic people, but positive people who approach life in that way.
We get to make that choice.
Yes, yes. And then I like my times of quiet as well. I love to read. I love to just snuggle up on the couch with a blanket and a book and really just kind of escape a little bit. And I try to do that at least for a little while on the weekends. I used to try to do a few pages every night, and that doesn't always work so well. But at any rate, those are a few of the things I do.
So I know for me, a lot of my reading is professional. Do you have a genre you like to read that takes you away from some of that professional learning?
I have. Actually, I really like quite an array of different things. Typically, I gravitate toward fiction. I love historical fiction. But I also love a good thriller. So yes, and to your point, when I say I snuggle up with a book to try to escape, that is outside of my professional reading. But yes, I like to escape a little bit, and that's an easy way to do that. And of course, I taught language arts, and I've always been a reader. So that's a natural way for me to do that.
Yeah. When you mentioned you didn't necessarily always want to be a superintendent, you thought you wanted to go into public relations. I can't help but think that that desire to be in PR and that experience you had at IU has only benefited you as a superintendent, because you also are the chief communicator in your district.
Yes, and that's a great point that a lot of people like to point out to me. but yes, I think, it is an interesting, different kind of circle that I've now become a PR person, for the district, the communicator for the district. And I take that seriously, and I try to handle that with care and understand the importance of it and the gravity of it. As you know, communication failure oftentimes leads to just a lot of mistakes and errors or miscommunication that can lead to misunderstanding, that can lead to difficulties for a district. I do love that part of this role. I love going out and speaking with our community members and presenting the state of the school and talking with PTO groups and all of those things. It's really great to be able to highlight the things that we're doing really well and also be able to recognize the things and challenges that we face and working in that in partnership with everyone.
I would imagine it's a bit surreal when you're out there presenting on the state of the school district to classmates, to folks that you went to school with, that graduated with, that have children or grandchildren maybe in the school district.
Yes, and it's, again, it's just something I love about the position that I'm in. I don't see myself anywhere else. My entire career has been in Warwick County School Corporation. So it's really fun to look out into the crowds and see, former students, children, my children's friends and their children and my parents' friends and just everyone, classmates. One of my classmates is the sheriff, and it's just been,
which can be beneficial.
Yes. So it's just been really good. And the other thing that has been beneficial in that regard is, I mentioned earlier I kind of bounced around to some different areas during my path, which allowed me to work in all three parts of our district. So I had mentioned how we're, I'm not sure if I mentioned that, how geographically spread out we are as well. So from north to south in our district is probably 22, 23 miles. And so
it's a lot of ground to cover.
It is, but it was nice that my assistant principal's position, principal position, they allowed me to be not only across different grade levels, but different parts of the district. So then I've also been able to connect with so many people in that way. So when I look out in those audiences, whatever they may be, I am seeing people from my childhood, from my colleagues from work, parents from across the district that I've had the opportunity to build relationships with over my 30 plus years in
Warwick.
What
a blessing.
It is.
Abby, I know our time is getting short, but I want to ask you a question that we ask every one of our guests at the end of this podcast. And this podcast is called Leading with Excellence. When you think about what leading with excellence means to you, especially in the context of public education, what would you share?
Leading for excellence for us is believing in every student in our school corporation. And it's really important to understand that when you set the bar high and you have that high expectation, students and employees and communities and district staff and all involved will rise to the occasion.
Yes.
So that's one thing. Another is, you know, making sure that I'm working to inspire the people around me. I think that's very important. If you want to make headway, you have to be able to inspire the people to understand the why of what we're doing so that we can get the outcomes that we desire for our students and families.
Yeah.
And then also for me, it's about making sure that I always remember and understand the importance of the impact we have on people in our community, in our students, and our staff, and not taking that for granted and handling that with care.
Abby, thanks for being my guest. Greatly appreciate it.
Of course. It was my pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of the Warrick County School Corporation, Dr. Abby Redmond. Abby's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.